You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast. My name is Jesslyn Lancaster, and today we have an interview with Vernon Brewer, who is the CEO and founder of World Help, and you're going to hear all about what his organization is doing around the world after this sponsor.
Have you recently gone through a major life event, like a divorce, loss of a loved one, or loss of your job? Have you been experiencing anxiety attacks due to stress-related life events? Are you isolating yourself from your family and friends? By combining biblical wisdom with clinical expertise and mental health, our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation and formulate actionable plans that address the challenges their clients face. The goal is to help your well-being so that you may feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. Faithful Counseling's unique platform holds several advantages over traditional face-to-face therapy, as it allows you the ability to connect with your counselor at any time. Counseling is not limited to individually scheduled sessions, but it can extend to text-based counseling whenever your counselor is marked available. It also gives you the choice of communicating with your counselor in the manner that is most comfortable and convenient for you, whether by phone, video call, or even messaging. It offers you drastically more affordable rates than traditional face-to-face therapy, and it also gives you the assurance that your counselor will be a good fit. You're always welcome to switch to a different counselor if you need to. Just go to faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews and receive 10% off your first month. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. Again, that's faithfulcounseling.com/charismanews.
Welcome back. Like I said before, I'm Jesslyn, and today I am here with Vernon Brewer of World Help. Say hello, Vernon.
Hi, Jesslyn. It's nice to be with you today.
It is a pleasure to talk to you. I know that recently we interviewed your daughter for our human trafficking series, but you are also working with World Help. You're actually the founder and CEO. Tell us a little bit about how your organization started.
Well, World Help is a Christian humanitarian organization. We serve both physical and spiritual needs of people in impoverished communities around the world. And we started about 28 years ago. I was the vice president of Liberty University. I was a cancer survivor, and I knew that God had something for me to do. And we started with one employee, one office, one computer, and very humble beginnings. Our first project, though, was to print and distribute 1 million Bibles in Moscow as the Soviet Union was folding. And since that date, we've impacted more than 82 million people in 71 countries around the world.
I love it. Now, I know you guys are still distributing Bibles, and one of those countries that you're working in is Iran. Tell me a little bit about what's happening there.
Well, first of all, the growth of Christianity in Iran is astronomical. In 1979, as you know, at the time of the Iran Revolution, there were fewer than 500 Christians with a Muslim background in all of Iran. Today, conservative estimates say that there are as many as 800,000 Christians. So more people have come to Christ in the past 40 years in Iran than the previous 1,300 years combined. Mm. So there's great spiritual hunger as people are becoming more and more disillusioned. And Iranians are considered some of the most open peoples to the gospel. But because of this church growth, with all of these new Christians coming to faith, there's not enough Bibles for all of them. And most Christians in Iran have never even held a Bible, let alone own one. Mm. And often the underground churches have to share a single Bible, and their house church members make handwritten copies of it so they can share them with their friends. The way evangelism is taking place in Iran is that A Christian will approach a stranger in a public place and start engaging in a conversation with them, find out if they're going through any struggles in their life. Then they'll pull out a Bible. We've helped several years ago, we helped our partners who are working in Iran fund a new translation of the Persian Bible, a new modern Farsi translation of the Bible, and help them print it. And it's much more readable for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And often when they're witnessing, they don't even share contact information because of the high risk of being caught. And so there's countless stories of people receiving a Bible in this way, reading it, sharing it with the family member, and then coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, it's incredible to see the revival that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Open Doors ranks Iran as the 9th most dangerous country in the world for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only about 20 above-ground churches in Iran, recognized churches,
mm-hmm.
and all of them are closely monitored. So most believers have to meet in house churches of about 8 or 12 people. If they grow any larger than that, they have to split up to avoid drawing attention to themselves and risking persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelism and house church activities are still considered illegal. They are punishable offenses in Iran, so the Bible distribution we're doing must remain secret. And I've even worked with many of these church planters in Iran in a nearby neutral country where we've done training and strategizing. And in several other countries of the world, these Iranian believers are allowed to come out, and we feel like it's much safer that way than for us to go in and sometimes even bringing attention to ourselves as Americans. But our partners can't share all the details of how they distribute the Bibles, but
mm-hmm.
One detail is abundantly clear, and that is they can't keep up with the demand, and they tell us that Bibles are their greatest need.
Wow.
Just think about it. People are coming to faith at historical rates, and there's not even enough Bibles to keep up with the growth in the underground church.
What do you think is causing such spiritual hunger and longing for the Word?
Well, I think, most of these Muslim background believers that are coming to faith tell us that they're just disillusioned
mm-hmm.
with their Muslim government, and they see in Christians a love and an acceptance and something that's different. You know, we have a medical clinic on the border of Syria that we provide free medicine for 200 Syrian refugees a day.
Mm.
And we supply the doctors and the nurses and the medicine, and we've saved lives and helped people physically. And last year alone, in this one clinic on the Syrian border, we saw 1,000 Muslims become Christ followers.
Wow.
Just in that one clinic.
Praise God.
And I asked them, I said, what is your evangelistic method? They said, we don't have an evangelistic strategy. They said, all we do is show them the love of Jesus Christ, meet their needs. And one by one, they asked to speak to us in private.
Mm.
And the theme is the same. Why are you doing this? Why are you so different? How can I have what you have? And so I just believe it's the love of Jesus Christ
Amen.
That's drawing men and women to him like a magnet.
I love it. Now, at Charisma News, we've had a lot of reports that Muslims are seeing dreams and visions of Christ. And so Christians are able to go up and say, hey, have you had a dream or a vision of a man in white? And that also provides an opportunity to evangelize. Is that something you guys have encountered?
Yes. And I would say because of the culture and because of the background and because of the persecution, we have seen and heard repeatedly of God planting that seed in people's minds through dreams, and very vivid dreams. And we've seen many people come to Christ as a result of meeting God in a dream.
I love it. Now, you mentioned the clinic is on the border of Syria. A lot of our listeners are interested in how they can help refugees. What would you suggest for them?
Well, you know, they have so many needs. We send containers of food, medicine. You know, there are still 2 million Syrian refugees just in the country of Jordan alone. And that doesn't count all the other countries where they fled throughout Europe and all. Just 2 million. And many of them are still living in tents. They've just survived a brutal winter. They have medical needs. And these aren't people, these aren't people, Jessalyn, that are poverty and poor and have always been in poverty. These are middle-class people. Doctors and nurses and lawyers and teachers who have had to flee with just the clothes on their back because of the persecution from ISIS and now they're living in the worst conditions possible in a tent with just a rug. And some of them have heaters, and some of them don't, and some of them have food every day, and some of them don't. And I would say the greatest thing we can do for those refugees is, first of all, pray for them.
Amen.
Because they need our prayer. And then secondly, just provide their needs at World Help. You know, for just as little as $25, you can provide the needs for a refugee. We're sending containers of food on a regular basis and clothes. And just recently we sent an entire container of shoes that were donated. And, you know, something as simple as a shoe in wintertime meets the needs. So and to realize that many of these people are seeing the love of Jesus in action for the first time. It's something that I would encourage every one of your listeners to do. You know, we can watch it on television, we can hear the reports, we can wring our hands and say, oh, isn't that terrible? Or we can get involved.
That is quite convicting. And I know that you guys are also ministering in some other dangerous places besides the Middle East. Can you tell me a little bit about your work in Venezuela right now?
Well, gosh. Venezuela's perhaps the worst humanitarian crisis in the world right now. More than 3 million Venezuelans have fled the country since 2014 just to escape destitution or starvation. The hyperinflation that's going on in the economy means that many people, even those that once lived a comfortable middle-class lifestyle, they can't even afford to eat more than one meal a day. People, this is so tragic, people are digging through trash cans and dumpsters just to find food. And one of our partners on the ground told us that people in his community became so desperate for food that they broke into a local cattle farm, if you can imagine, and slaughtered all the cows right there on the spot so they could take a little meat home for their families. One of our partners, show you how bad the inflation is, bought 3 pounds of ham for $5 and went back 1 week later and that same 3 pounds of ham cost $25. Mm. 5 times in increase in just 1 week. And one of our partners on the ground told us that he hadn't eaten in 3 days. Mm. So it very well could be the worst humanitarian crisis going on in the world. I heard about Maria, how thieves broke into Maria's house one day when she was home alone with her young daughter and screamed at her to give them all her money, and she told them she didn't have anything to give them, and her small weekly paycheck wasn't even enough to feed her and her child. So the men eventually left, but Maria's family was so fearful and traumatized and fearful that this would keep happening, so they fled the country. Mm. And that story can be repeated thousands and thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And I heard about Mateo and Isabella in Venezuela. They used to own a successful business manufacturing uniforms. And when the economic crisis escalated, they had to sell their company's machinery and their cars and eventually their house. And even that money ran out. And Mateo, the husband, became very sick. And because he couldn't afford the medicine he needed, he eventually died. Mm. And he could have been saved, but he couldn't afford the medicine. Mm-hmm. And Isabella was then responsible for providing for her family on her own. And her 14-year-old son was on the brink of starvation. And sad to say, we recently received the terrible word that her son, too, passed away. Mm. And Isabella's heartbroken and terrified that she and her 2 daughters will be next. So if you can imagine existing in that environment, our partners and pastors and Christians in Venezuela are doing what they can to help their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And one of our partners even turned his own house into a shelter to house and feed 35 people. And we're able to get the funds and the food to them that's being distributed, food packets, hygiene items. And for as little as $25 a day, we can help one person in their time of need.
Wow. Now, what would you say the spiritual climate is like in Venezuela right now with so much literal hunger?
Well, you know, there's so much chaos right now and so much uncertainty. And then they have a brutal dictator in the government, and there's so much government uncertainty that I would say the best word to describe Venezuela is chaos. Mm-hmm. But even in that chaos, when men and women are at their most hopeless, we know that God brings hope and that Jesus Christ is a hope giver.
Amen.
And so even in the midst of chaos, there's this quiet moving of the Holy Spirit that's drawing men and women to Him. Mm. I wouldn't call it widespread yet, because people are focusing on just surviving. But there is an obvious presence of God, presence of the Holy Spirit, and God working in the worst of circumstances to draw men and women to Him.
Mm. That's what I love to hear, and I know it can be so heartbreaking in the midst of this devastation. And this is when I feel like the Lord has asked us as the body of Christ to really step in and take care of His sheep. You know, that's what He charged Peter with. You know, what do I do? Well, you feed my flock. And so for our listeners who are interested in getting involved with World Help or maybe donating to Bibles in Iran or Food in Venezuela, where can they get involved?
WorldHelp.net. And as little as $25 a day will impact a life. And we have the partners on the ground. We have a proven network. We have a proven track record. And we invite your listeners to join our family. And we call it being the hands and feet of Jesus on the ground. We say it's help for today and hope for tomorrow. And we believe by meeting these humanitarian needs of people in desperate situations, that opens their heart to be receptive to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Vernon, I want to thank you for your time today. It has been a pleasure speaking to you and learning about what's happening in these countries. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, thank you for what you're doing. You guys do such an incredible job in getting the word out and making sure your readers and listeners are aware of what's going on. So thank you.
Well, it is our pleasure to work with you guys. Thank you for listening to this interview. Thank you, Vernon, for stopping by. And listeners, for more stories like this, be sure to check out cpnshows.com and listen to the Charisma News podcast.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.